Vegas Bad Boy of Podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guests. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
This is Alita, and you're listening to the Vegas Bad Boys Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm DJ Impact, and I got all of the bad boys with me this evening. And we're coming live on to Zoom. In fact, I'm going to share mine right now with everybody. I always do that. You know what? I'll tell you what. Here's the issue. I'm going to tell you what it is. The problem is... you cut your volume off your phone, but some reason it doesn't cut the media volume down. It's like it cuts all volumes down but media. So now
you have to do it twice.
Yeah, you know, that's what throws me off. Whatever. Anyway, guys, welcome to the show. Let's get right to it. We got a good three count of topics for you.
It's time. Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents
1, 2, 3.
Count talk.
Count talk, baby.
And why not start off then our very first one from Up Rocks.
One.
With the title, why can't AEW solve its women's wrestling problem? And I mean, our writer here wrote a lot. So I'm just going to kind of break down a little bit on what they written. It speaks about how one area where AEW has fallen down again and again is its booking with their women's division, and indeed in treating women's wrestling like an important part of the product. It says that the COVID-19 pandemic has made things much worse, but the problem was already there. It talks about before the pandemic, AEW had about 4 women it treated like stars, which is Riho and Nyla Rose, Hikaru Shida, and Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. It has started building up a second tier of women, including Chris Statlander, Big Swole, and Shanna. And then you have Yuka Sakazaki, had recently returned and gave the impression she would be making more appearances. Sadie Gibbs had been off TV, but was teasing a return, possibly with a new gimmick. Anyway, of course, the coronavirus that we call Rona hit, and all the women who lived outside the U.S. became unable to appear. And the pandemic and the travel ban were unpredictable events, but it still says something about AEW priorities that such a high percentage of its regular women's roster members didn't even live in the country where AEW does its shows. Now, it mentions that even if AEW doesn't have access to the female talent that it booked right now, there's still ways that they could demonstrate a commitment to women's wrestling. Just booking 2 women matches on one episode of Dynamite would feel like a huge step, especially if both of those matches had storylines to go with them. There's also nothing stopping them from building up the women's match to the main event of a show. Treat women's wrestling like it's important, and it becomes important, right? So it was also saying that the rumor that Kenny Omega is the one who's over the AEW's women division. But the author did mention that the best thing that could happen for women's division would be if AEW hired a veteran female wrestler and put the charge of that in division to them. Now, of course, the article goes over how WWE and even Impact Wrestling are doing good jobs right now in their wrestling division. It also mentioned that things got even worse when Baker and Statlander were both injured, removing them from competition for time being. So, the author asked a bunch of rhetorical questions. And it's great because I get to ask the bad boys these actual questions and see what they think about what was thrown out there. So, I don't know. I could pick on either one of you, or one of you could just say, I'll take this one. So I'm just going to read the question, and I'm going to see if anyone, but I'm going to give you 3 seconds, and I'm going to go straight to the first person I see that I feel like picking on. Why was Ali in a non-wrestling role to begin with? She's a solid worker and was one of Impact Wrestling's biggest female stars for a couple of years. All right, who want to take that on?
Well, we don't know. You know, maybe she was injured. They were trying to create some different things and different looks with her, but we don't know. The simple answer is we don't know. Creatively, you know, it seems like now they're on the right path with those two, and you get the tournament coming up. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with her, because she was a big part of Impact Wrestling's roster and, you know, a very good worker and entertaining too. So,
okay. How about this one? Whatever happened to Mel, the woman who shaved her head to join Brandy's now defunct cult? She's still listed on the official roster, but when was the last time she had a match? Let's go.
Well, right now it's COVID, so we don't know who the hell's available and who's not available. I think the biggest thing that you have to look at AEW, you know, is lack of materials, lack of people at the current time. I think they already were a little bit shallow. You know, some key people got injured, and then COVID hit. It just is what it is. It's just a bad situation that right now they're not in the position to be able to secure acquisitions that they could add to their rosters. A lot more than just signing somebody. You know, I mean, especially now in these COVID times, you know, now you have to, you know, think about a couple of things.
Man, you really don't read these things.
Yeah. I was about to... yeah. Again, the question was, what happened to Mel? Okay. She's listed on the official roster, but she hasn't had a match. So just kind of curious.
Let's
ask this.
Ask that question? I don't get it. That's a dumb question. Why ask that question? How will we know? We don't know her. Just being honest, where is he?
How come it took weeks to get the slightest follow-up about the Dark Order recruiter Anna Jay, and we still don't know the whole deal?
Yeah. What do you mean we don't know the whole deal? I mean, she obviously wears a mask now and stands in a corner.
I'll say I was, you know, when they did that angle, I thought that they should have went a different way. But you know what? They did that. They haven't done the payoff yet. And, you know, if you're building storylines, of course, you're going to want to drag it out. But it was good that they finally circled back around to it. And she appeared this week.
It's not circling back around. That's, hey, that's right. We pay you. All right. Get out here. Here. By the way, here's a little mask. Put it on, and you're part of the Dark Order. Come on, dude. It's fucking bullshit. It's totally bullshit. They did something that should have been cool, and they fucked it up. Period.
Yeah.
One of the questions was asked, is this person named Abaddon?
Abaddon.
Abaddon, thank you. What's Abaddon up to? I get that she can't have constant matches and retain her creepy mystique, but is there any reason she can't be sneaking up on people backstage in the dark from time to time? Yeah. Is that a good question there?
You know, it comes down to, like, I think that you actually hit the nail on the head right when you were reading through everything. And, you had mentioned that Omega was actually overseeing the women's division in AEW. And if that is genuinely the case, then at the end of the day, we have to think about this, that he has never been in a position like this on this scale. And it, in my opinion, was an oversight to staff him with, you know, or to charge him with overseeing an entire women's division when he has not had any major experience. I know that he did some things in DDT when he was working for them in Japan, but on the scale that AEW is in the States, with as much exposure as they have needed to have their women's division, you know, on point, and they have to start bringing their A game. So they need to make whatever changes are necessary to accomplish that. And I think that this is a really great point. I mean, Abaddon, yes, She just got signed, what, a month ago, I believe. So she's not been on the roster very long. Mm-hmm. But I definitely would like to see her in more vignettes. And, you know, the comment or the part in here saying that, you know, she can't have constant matches and retain her creepy mystique. Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's obvious. But at the end of the day, who says that the only way that you can further storylines is in the ring? I think that's an oversight, not just with the women's division in AEW, but with AEW as a whole. And we're starting to finally see those things come to fruition, but we just need to see it quicker, and we need it now.
Yeah, and again, I thought that, you know, the easy money, the low-hanging fruit would have been to take Abaddon and put her with the Dark Order. It just would have meshed well, and they are prominent on TV, and she could have been featured with them.
But she doesn't own a mask.
The only thing that I would say with that, Lucky, is the only thing that I would say with that is that the Dark Order has been portrayed as like basically a savior of people who, you know, are downtrodden or, you know, whatever the situation may be, however they want to phrase it. But Abaddon is just a dark character. Okay? If she is a dark character, that doesn't mean that she should be in the Dark Order.
You're going over his head, Steve. You're talking way above.
You're not talking smart. You gotta talk
smart.
She's a dark character, therefore she belongs in the Dark Order.
MJF was talking about y'all.
Here's some of my takes, though, too. Like, I think that, you know, like you had mentioned, Steve, you know, probably Omega was not the right guy for the job on this one. And it shows, right? He had his girls that he, you know, was pushing through and trying to make this thing relevant. And it fell flat on his face to me. Because you look at it now, they're starting to pivot, and they're doing the women's tournament and they're introducing more and more indie talent. I would like to see them continue to do that, you know, sign more women that, you know, people maybe are familiar with. I did a tweet this week. Mentioning some names, and then a couple other people hopped on and some talent hopped on it. But those names are people that, you know, we love and recognize. So it'll be interesting to see, and we'll have to take a wait and see approach on who this tournament has in it. You know, I think some names have been announced. But I think they're finally on the right track.
I have a question for you, King Lucky. I know the Smarkville Kingdom sometimes with rumors, they're able to kind of figure out if they're true or not. In this same article, it does say that the recent announcement of a women's tag tournament seems encouraging, while rumors that the whole thing will happen online instead of on TV are discouraging, but hopefully untrue. Does that sound like something that's going to happen?
So it's supposed to be the YouTube draw or whatever this week coming up. But I don't know. I haven't heard any rumors of if it's going to be, you know, specifically on YouTube or online. I don't have any problem with that. I watch AEW Dark. It fits in a perfect slot for me on Tuesdays. You know, because there's so much wrestling throughout the week. But
wait, King Lucky, yeah. don't you mean the show that was created for the Dark Order? I mean, it's AEW Dark, right? So then it should be like NWO Sold Out every week.
Yeah, whatever.
It should feature everyone from the Dark Order on that show, since, you know, it's a dark show.
Well, first of all, the Dark Order needs to go away, so we'll start there.
You know what that's called, right, Steve? You know what that's called? Smartly.
Being fucking stupid.
No, smartly simplistic.
Okay, but
here's the deal. I mean, you said, King Lucky, hey, if it's on YouTube, I'll watch it. But I think the whole bottom line they're saying is that if we need to build this women division for AEW, it probably needs to be on Dynamite. It needs to be on TV so people can see the buildup of this. Would you agree, fellas?
Yeah, they're gonna make a part of it. I mean, I don't think you can feature the whole thing on TV, but I definitely think it needs to be part of Dynamite for sure.
Yeah, but the whole reason it wouldn't be on TV is because of the fact that they're going to be using talent that isn't signed. So at this point, why make your audience think when they tune in and they're not marks, they're not reading dirt sheets, why make them think that so-and-so, which you like, you saw them, you're like, oh, that's a cool wrestler, and then you never see them.
Yeah, you saw that happen last week. You know, a lot of people like Eva Lise, and you don't know if she signed or not, but, you know, maybe she's here this week on TV and gone next week. Same thing happened with Jeff Cobb, which was very, very, you know, we don't know the inner workings of what happened there, but, you know. You said what?
Some of us do. And
it's
so funny to listen to you because it's great because you're such a purist smark.
I call it too.
You keep pushing for something to happen, but you don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Because you know, in Smarkville, there's no
that's wall okay. Reality. I can live in my fantasy land. You know what I'm saying?
At least you admit it. Right. At least you admit it, man. That's why we love you, man.
So actually, really quick, I do just have to mention something from the Facebook chat.
Yes.
Which is a great point to bring up. Tristan says, AEW truly doesn't have a cohesive plan for the women's division and their disjointed approach to storyline building, i.e. stories being built on Dark and BTE, is just ruining any flow or smoothness to the women's division. I agree 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
If something takes place on one of those shows, then it should be AEW canon at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're going to use those blocks of content time to further storylines, then they should actually use those blocks of times to further storylines that are relevant. Bottom line.
I agree.
You guys mentioned in the article, or I mentioned earlier, that that Kenny Omega, of course, is in charge, I guess, of the women's division. Let me ask you all this. If it came down to either he concentrate on the women's division.
Wrestler.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'd rather have wrestler. Okay.
Yeah. Bring someone else in to focus on the women's division.
Yep.
Yeah.
Please.
100%.
Okay.
A veteran that can be trusted, a veteran that has familiarity of being in that role.
Let him get back to being the best bout machine, or even better yet, the cleaner.
Hmm.
And you don't even need to bring in someone who is a veteran, or just bring in someone who's fucking creative, knows how to write for women and book for women, and there you go. You know, let them focus on it.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I'll go ahead and I'll say it. The storyline writer the WWE laid off that came up with the fucking Otis and Mandy storyline. Fuck it. Bring her in. Why not? It's better than what you got going right now.
Okay.
It's a good point.
Yeah. One last question he threw out there. Let's see what you guys want to say about that. How come we've gotten videos from male wrestlers who were unable to make the shows due to the pandemic or injury, like MJF and Pac and Darby Allin, but we've never seen the slightest hint of any of the missing women? It's a good point. What do you guys think on that?
Out of all the questions that he had on this article, that was the only one that to me was worth talking about. I say that's something that a lot of people are wondering for a long time. Not specifically these, but you see a lot more of how AEW presents how they're dealing with COVID, and you see their male counterparts. We're not seeing that at all with female counterparts, not in just this particular example, but in other examples. And I think that it's something that AEW has to see a hole, fill it up, and figure out how to move forward and do better.
They don't have storylines, man.
Well,
they're not prioritizing the women's division.
Yeah, yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what it is. They're not prioritizing it, and it shows.
They got to start somewhere. That's what I'm saying. You got to start somewhere. Change isn't going to happen overnight. You know, starting what it could be highlighting some of the women who aren't here because of COVID or what they're doing during COVID. So something small like that, even if you don't have storylines set in place, I get that.
Fuck it.
But still somewhere. Yeah, it's still something.
At this point, shoot a vignette with Chris Statlander. I mean, she just had her knee surgery. Like, fuck it. You know, have her in, like, if you want to go completely fucking weird style with it, then, you know, have her, like, throw a green screen behind her and have her be, like, on fucking planet whatever the fuck, and, you know, have her be an alien, and, yeah, I'm on my home planet right now, whatever the shit. And it's more than what you're doing with her right now. It's more than what you're doing with really anybody in the division right now except for Britt Baker.
Basically.
Yeah. And AEW, if you're listening, because we know somebody's listening, you can call us and we'll put this together for you.
Just don't call King Lucky's phone because he might be taking
I got way out there ideas, so they can call me. They'll call me more than they'll call you guys.
Yeah, but what if you're taking a nap? You might not answer the phone.
I might not. They have to call me when it's not nap time, baby. So I got to get my nap in.
If they call friends is what isn't considered an inside joke.
There you go. Very inside.
Yeah. Another thing I had mentioned, too, as we begin to wrap up with this topic, was Big Swole, why they would even write her out of the storyline, too. I mean, that's kind of interesting as well, right? I mean, why create a storyline where she's written out when she could be performing?
Well, she may. Again, it honestly does go back somewhat to what Simon said. She could very well have tested positive or had other medical conditions. There's no way for us to really know that. So I think that they were knocking on the right door with Big Swole.
Absolutely.
You know, having her go that route with Britt Baker. It's something that happened for whatever reason. But they need to be agile. They need to be flexible with it and, you know, find a way to get her back on TV because it was going down the right path, to the point of getting her over, which definitely needs to happen.
You know, there's one thing I did wanted to quickly tie in, from, you know, our chat. Tristan did add, you know, we don't really know the women's characters. They don't build them prior to the virus, and therefore there is nothing to feature in vignettes. There are maybe four women that we know, that we just know them because they were the ones during the COVID. And he makes an excellent point because, again, when I say starting small, like, they're not writing for them, I get that. But let's have some vignettes of these women we do have that, you know, aren't the four that he's mentioning. You know what I'm saying? So that we get some kind of a sense so we can like these people.
That's the problem that they're in. Mm-hmm. And what this article was essentially saying. They invested a lot of their focus on people who are not part of this country. So when this hit, you have them out of the country. If you start doing vignettes with those people and they can't get back in this country for 2 years, then you're blowing your television time.
Well, let me do this question then. We got a lot of women stateside that they could be reaching out to, who I know for a fact are clean. Well, maybe not like that, but for the most part that I know are negative for coronavirus. Let's put it that way. And there's somebody that could be used. Well, because it does come down to a point. If you're going to reach out to somebody, you need to find out if they have problems with coronavirus or whatnot. But my point is there are people stateside that they could be reaching out to right now that are part or either independently, you know, wrestling, or there are people in other promotions that are not getting work right now.
And I think that is what they are starting to do. I mean, you have to look at what happened a couple of weeks ago with Diamante and Ivelisse. Yes.
I was happy with that.
I was completely happy with that. So more, please.
All right.
Yeah. That's what it comes down to, man. They're trying this tournament thing. We'll see what happens. But that's where they're using those people. And that's where those people, if they show that they can do it, they're going to get hired.
True.
And one last thing that AEW suffers from, and I think it's something that we all tend to forget about, is the depth of the roster that are seasoned veterans or that, you know, have any real ring time. A lot of the women's roster in AEW is still very green. They don't have a performance center where you know, people can go in and, you know, do this, that, or the other. They're attempting to found one by, you know, opening the Nightmare Gym. But at the end of the day, they have to get those in-ring minutes, you know, and it's something that by not doing house shows, by not doing a lot of the things that a lot of the workers in WWE or that have worked extensively on the indies have been able to do to build up that in-ring time. I think that that's a very serious gap that, you know, we don't really talk about too much on the show. And that's something that can easily be remedied. They just need to focus their resources and efforts into that direction. And then that'll at least get them back on the road to recovery.
All right. Good stuff, guys. Let's go to our second count. This is from Variety.com. It's titled as WWE Ratings Tumble, McMahon Must Stop Blaming Storylines. So the article talks about this, some of the passages from it. Instead of focusing on long-term health of the company and building a product that audience want to watch, both McMahon and investors have put all their eggs in the TV revenue basket. Now, McMahon oversaw a record U.S. TV deal that kicked in last year, Raw on Cable Networks USA and SmackDown Now on Network TV on Fox were judged to be worth a combined, $2.35 billion over the course of 5 years, but even as ratings have been trending down for some time. And of course, the article just goes down just about these ratings during the during that time. Then it jumps over and says Vince McMahon has for years sought to pin the blame on underperforming ratings on short-term excuses. And then VIP conducted, and VIP is part of VarietyHere.com, conducted an analysis a year ago of one of the WWE's big excuses at the time for dwindling audiences in absence of key superstars and found it to be false. Now, more recently, falling ratings have been blamed on COVID-19 and an influx of new talent. That was quarter one, 2020. Mm-hmm. And then it's taken time to be able to develop the right storylines for the right talent. That was in quarter four, 2019. And then needing to focus on the in-ring product. That was quarter three of 2019. And then needing to have a deeper, better storylines in quarter two in 2019. So now the article is saying that more than likely, Vince McMahon is probably going to go back and revisit the idea that new stars need to be made given the absence of several superstars due to the pandemic, notably Roman Reigns. And he's saying that this should be treated with short shrift. If the downturn in ratings in quarter four 2018 and quarter one 2019 were down due to superstar absences, this should have been an incentive to create new stars. And that's actually a really good point from that article. And it says that investors should be worried that no improvement has been made in ratings. It finished up by saying that instead, McMahon's feet should be held to the fire, with Wall Street asking how much longer is needed to create compelling stories and new stars and catch the public's imagination. Should McMahon's be taken to task, then it will be a sign that finally investors are realizing that without an audience investing in content, there would be no future revenue bonanzas for WWE. All right, guys, here we go. The blaming game for why the ratings continue to drop. The investors, of course, are invested in this. They're about to have their call coming up at the... Oh, no, they had their call on July 30th.
They had it this week.
Yeah. So, guys, I mean, what's your take on this particular topic here?
Let's go. Did you do your homework research, DJ?
I'm sorry, one more time?
Did you do your homework and research? Did you see what happened on that quarter call?
No.
Okay, King Lucky can take it from there.
We actually had a good earnings call. you know, in part it was because of some of the stuff that they did with shredding the talent, but they did show positive earnings. So, you know, I think for investors, you know, right now, if you, I think the most important thing that I took away from this, and if you look at the whole thing overall, is compelling TV. You have to be able to capture the audience, right? If you tune in, why tune in if your favorite wrestlers aren't being featured, you know, that the fans care about? Not only that, but at one point, you know, you had the call-up was so magical from NXT that now it's just – it almost like people get buried under Vince's thumb, and then, you know, they want to go back to – the, you know, NXT after being on the main roster, you have people that like Samoa Joe, Shayna, Ricochet, or just some of the examples of people, you know, and Joe, he was injured for a little bit, or just some of the examples of people that, you know, you love and you really get behind. And then you just watch how, you know, Shayna was off of TV for X amount of time. They come back and, you know, she looked strong this week or the week prior to this week. And then this week was like, huh? So there's a there's a huge disconnect, you know, on how somebody's booked. You know, if you're talking about developing stars, there's a huge disconnect when you have somebody come from their developmental program to the main roster. You know, they're booked really strong in NXT, and they look really good, and you get behind them, and you're like, wow, NXT is the best product. And you expect those things to continue when they go to the main roster, and it doesn't happen.
Yeah, you know? Damn shame that neither Raw nor SmackDown have former NXT talent as champions right now.
Yeah, but you understand that it takes time for them to get to that point.
Right over his head. Yeah,
whatever.
Oh, God. Well, I don't even know why we fucking try with you, Lucky.
Let me ask you guys this. So, yeah.
You guys know it's a fucking issue.
Yeah, the issue lies with Vince. It starts with Vince.
It's all Vince. Starts with
– It's not all Vince.
100%.
It's not all Vince, but that is where most of the blame needs to fall. I think that it's especially telling that Paul Heyman and Eric Bischoff were hired to be co-executive producers of Raw and SmackDown. And fast forward to 1 year, this shows you just how fucked up the world is that we are in. It's been a year since they were initially hired on with WWE to be co-executive producers. And neither one of them are there. So that should definitely tell you just how unstable everything tends to be there. And when you're constantly having a change of regime and a change of who's in charge, at least who a lot of people view as being in charge, then, you know, you're going to run into those start and stop pushes. You're going to run into certain people that are booked like $1 million when one person is writing the show. And then when that person gets fired or relieved of their duties, now they're back to being a job guy. I think it's ridiculous. And some of the blame must be shouldered by Vince McMahon. But unfortunately, because they reported a good earnings call, he's, of course, not going to take any of the blame whatsoever on himself. It's going to take them falling flat on their face in order for him to realize, oh, voila, something's not working. Fuck off.
Well, see, well, the problem is the ship is sinking because there's a small hole in the bow. But it takes a while for that ship to sink. And if you have a dumbass motherfucker that just does not give a shit and doesn't prioritize, he's not going to address that small hole. It's going to become big. Eventually, WWE is going to suffer because of this type of, you know, like you said, changing the regime over and over again. It's just ridiculous.
The fact of the matter is this, too. Long story short, when you have both of the programs on Wednesday night, NXT and AEW putting up nearly as many viewers as what you have on your flag bearer show on Monday night, that's a problem. Because for 30 years, you've had Raw as basically, even before Raw, it was primetime wrestling. But WWE has had a wrestling program on USA Network or the 2 years that they were on Spike, TNN, whatever. But for the better part of 30 years, they have had a weekly episodic TV show on Monday nights at 8 o'clock. And they condition so many people that Monday night is wrestling night. Now, in spite of everything that has gone on, and with the with the COVID and everything going crazy, now you're starting to see a seismic shift to where this past week you had almost as many viewers of NXT plus AEW as what you had for Monday Night Raw. That is noteworthy. That is insane to even consider that. If you would have told me when AEW started that you add up AEW's numbers and NXT's numbers and they're going to almost equal Raw's numbers, that's a big problem. Because the big excuse that a lot of people like to throw out there is COVID numbers. Oh, well, let's blame it all on the fucking pandemic. Well, NXT, quite honestly, is back up to pre-COVID numbers. AEW is back up to pre-COVID numbers. Raw is not back up to pre-COVID numbers. And SmackDown sure as shit is not back up to pre-COVID numbers.
You know what? Uh-huh. I mean, overall, the article, and I didn't catch the fact you guys heard that the ratings, quarter ratings were positive on that particular call, which is good that their earnings actually went up some. But I tell you this article definitely concentrates more on the overall ratings. And Sin City Steve kind of makes a good point about that, as much as I don't want to give him credit.
Thank you very much.
This did a good
facts
job.
Facts don't care about your feelings, though, bro.
It breaks just down just how these ratings have just been taking a major hit. And so, I don't know. I mean, I still think, and I didn't actually hear the call. I don't know if you guys actually listened to the call or you just kind of read. But I think as an investor, if I was on the call, I would have asked Mr. McMahon, you know, what is the game plan forward to get the ratings back up? What is the game plan? And hoping not to hear the same excuses that the article was saying, that there's always seems to be the same, you know, excuses coming along. And this time the excuse would have came about being that new stars need to be made. So I don't know. I think if I was an investor, I probably would want to know that, because even though you had a little bit of some earnings that came in, I'm still would be questioning what's the game plan here. I'm right now looking at some of the info that came from that call. It shows here that even the average paid subscribers, now this is different from network, but it even fell to 1.5%. Well, that happens.
That's them calling right now.
Hello.
That's them calling you.
I was waiting.
They're going to give you a call right now.
I was waiting for Vince to make that call. So it looked like he's
you
about
should
to
pick up that phone and see what he has to say.
All right. So, yeah, but even that has dropped down some. It just looks like that. I don't know. I'm hoping things continue to get better. I think outside of COVID, you can still put on some pretty good entertaining product. It depends on what it is you're putting out there and what's resonating with the fans. So I don't know, but Steve, you do make a good point.
But you're the biggest non-other company thing in this group, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, right?
Sure.
So the thing is, do you watch the product still?
Yes.
Are you entertained?
I am.
There you go. See, people like Steve, who definitely think that, oh, there is this high and mighty standard that must be. They need to push guys like The Revival, because those guys are money drawers. Mm. You know? Here's the thing. The thing is, you want to argue this shit? The fact of the matter is, no Roman Reigns, okay? This is a guy they've been building and pushing for years. Does it really fucking matter in the long run? Because they put the belt on another monster, and that's Braun, right? He is someone that, again, along with Bray, along with AJ, you could put belts on these guys. The fact of the matter is that regardless, it's not a product that is meant for guys your age, Steve, or your age, Lucky, or my age. Simon, I'm not too sure how old you are, so I'm not, it might be geared towards your kid. But that's wow. It. Wrestling's for kids, especially when you want to make the fucking money. It's for kids. Yeah.
Because when you think about the merchandise, you're exactly right. Because my kids bother me about shirts and action figures every time they see the commercial. So, I mean, it makes sense.
Exactly. And as long as AEW and NXT have supporters that are rabid fans of those brands, then that's good as well. All right? But the fact of the matter is that you just made the point, Steve. The thing's been on television for over 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or going on 30 years. So you can't expect it to continue to have ratings as it did throughout the years when everything is evolving and changing.
I agree with that. You cannot expect it to produce the highest numbers that it's ever had. But when you're continually lowering the bar for the lowest ratings and the lowest viewer numbers in the show's history, you're working in the wrong direction. You're working in the wrong direction. If your latest content that you're producing is being seen by the fewest eyes.
But you're also dealing with a different type of fan because of the fact that things are dependent on those younger eyes. What do younger kids now do instead of TV?
Social media, TikTok, Fortnite, TikTok.
Exactly.
How many times are you going to say fucking TikTok, Street? Jesus.
Because that's all they fucking do. Fortnite and TikTok. TikTok with Fortnite.
He knows better than we will ever know, man. But that, I mean, that's a valid thing. A valid thing is the rating system is contingent upon those people who are thereabouts over the age of 25 right now.
Yeah.
In the next decade, let's face it, it's all going to pretty much be streaming.
Yep.
Ratings aren't going to have a fucking matter because there is going to be no television. You know, it's all going to be streaming.
So all you people still having cable in your houses, you're going to be saving some money pretty soon.
Listen, I tell you, I call them up and I tell them that I can't afford it anymore. And then they drop the price significantly so low that I have to stay with it. So I'm not even on a contract. So I'm just loving the ride. You know,
Impact absolutely hates technology. I mean, you heard his whole phone going. Real. How many people do you know that still have
1998? Hey, Impact, with that little thing you just told us, you know, strippers say that all the time too. So at the end of the day, you're getting played. You're getting run for your money, man. Eventually, you need to just hop on the streaming world like the rest of us. Put all your money into your internet. Put less into your cable package.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thanks for the word of wisdom from
Not words of wisdom. Those are street facts.
Oh, God.
Or beaver facts.
No, not beaver facts, man. They made beaver facts. Your teeth ain't big enough to sink into that.
Okay, don't please, Sin City, don't try. Let's go to our third count.
Three.
Man, this question hurt me. It comes from Last Word on Pro Wrestling. Is it time for Jim Ross to go? Damn. Okay, It just mentions that, of course, good old JR Jim Ross has built a captivating legacy on commentary from his work in Mid-South Wrestling to WCW and to WWE. And, of course, the article just breaks down all of the awesome calls that he had over time. But I guess since he's been with AEW, the article mentioned, and of course this is coming here from the article, he says it's clear that Jim either doesn't know the ins and out of AEW or quite frankly doesn't care. And while it's true everyone has a couple of bad days, he's made no effort to improve himself after multiple mishaps and infuriating comments on modern wrestling. His reputation has remained indifferent ever since Dr. Britt Baker famously cut a promo calling him a, quote, lazy barbecue sales rep, unquote. Oh, boy. While there has been instances in which Ross has spoken favorably of AEW, even saying it is worth watching over NXT, his commentary continues to drag down the match every Wednesday night, and it's clear he needs to go. Then the article speaks on saying AEW has more than enough options on who can replace Ross, and they go through all through these different names. It also mentions that wrestling fans have begged for two-person commentary teams to make their way back for years. But it ended by saying AEW bringing in JR was originally a sound idea. His name alone still invokes fond memories of pro wrestling fans of Slobberknocker. Unfortunately, after repeatedly dropping the ball and causing friction at the announce table, it's more apparent than ever that Jim Ross needs to leave the booth. And that JR could easily find another role to play in AEW, such as a sit-down interviewer for Dynamite, if they wish to keep him on TV every week. And the fact is that Jim clearly isn't comfortable where he is, neither are the fans. And if JR doesn't want to root for the home team, then he simply needs to get out of the stadium. Damn.
That's harsh.
I don't know. I mean, I'll let you go with this, Sin City, because AEW is your baby. But Jim Ross, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I've hear mistakes, but I'm not ready to say that he just doesn't care or... Even as far as the way he was making it seem like he maybe want to sabotage it, I don't know. But what's your what's your take on it?
He definitely doesn't want to sabotage it. I don't agree with that. Yeah. However,
those were my words, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
The best thing that I can tell you is that, you know, every story, even the most regaled of all fairy tales, every story must come to an end. And I think that we are at that end for Jim Ross.
Take him behind the barn.
As painful as it is to say, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but he was the voice of my childhood, man. And it's so difficult to have to say something like this, but at this time, I feel that it would be addition via subtraction if JR would step out of the broadcast booth. Now the article, you know, mentioned the whatever the Alex Marvez experiment was with AEW. I think it's long known how ineffective Alex Marvez was in the booth. So he should definitely not be replacing JR by any stretch of the imagination. But I agree. I think that Jim Ross being the, you know, being in the booth every single week for every single match is something that needs to be phased out. Now, I would be cool with having JR call the world championship match at the pay-per-views. Or, you know, that kind of stuff. If a match needs to feel special, you bring JR in and you make an ordeal out of it that he is be in the broadcast booth. If nothing else, that would allow him to focus explicitly on the people whose match he is going to be commentating, rather than having to learn, quite frankly, an entire new roster of people that he's unfamiliar with. And Father Time loses to no one. We're all going to get to that point where the cognitive decline will hit, and it's going to suck. But we have to admit that it hits for everybody. And I feel that the time has come for Jim Ross to step out of the broadcast booth on a weekly basis.
Hmm. Let me jump over right quick to Matt Michaels right quick, because I want to see if you just agree or can we get a different opinion on this. Would you, I mean, come on, man, this is Jim Ross, Matt Michaels. You think we should just do what King Lucky say?
Have you listened to our show? I'm the only one who's constantly saying, get rid of fucking JR. From the beginning. The fact of the matter is JR was very entertaining last year at the Cauliflower Alley Club as an MC. Why? Because he was fucking sauced. He was and he was amazing. So either A, Jim start drinking boar and just going out there and saying whatever the fuck that would be fucking awesome. Or B, I suggested, I don't know if it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, just do the fucking behind the scenes stuff and film those vignettes. As far as I'm concerned, Shivani can go too. Grandpa. You can do Grandpa in the booth. It's like fucking Statler and Waldorf from the fucking Muppets. and then the only has makes any kind of impact is because Excalibur is off TV, because Excalibur, we find videos now on the internet of Excalibur saying stuff that is not correct nowadays to say. So basically, you have Taz, and Taz is your top heel manager who is now calling, and he's tough. He's not like Heaton. Your Heaton was a weasel, so it worked. But here you have this tough guy manager, and now he's entertaining on commentary, which is not a good balance. So at this point, like, there's guys out there who you could fucking, you know, try other guys and or mentor other guys, you know, have those guys get mentored. Michael Cole didn't just get handed the job overnight. He got mentored taking JR's job. And at this point, hey, JR can mentor another guy to take his job. I don't know. I don't understand why I understand why he's on TV and you want it to make it reputable, but you're a year in and his favorite female wrestler is Sunny Kiss.
Yeah. I mean, it's by God. He's referred to Sunny Kiss numerous times as her and she and stuff, and it's like,
but do it once, that's a mess up, you know, a mess up.
Yeah,
do it multiple times, it's like, dude, he's a guy, he is gay, just relax there, good old JR. Oh, maybe he is awesome enough, maybe he is drinking a little bit more.
You know what? I'll throw my opinion on this one. I remember an old tale that many people have read. It's a book. It's called Old Yeller. And the series of Old Yellers, these adventures of this dog that has always been the core of the family, protected the kids, raised the kids. But it came to the point where there was that rabid wolf. And he protected the family for the last time, got bit and contracted rabies. And I remember the oldest son, when I was reading his book, had to put him down because the family thought he would be a threat to the family. Very much reason why I bring up that story is we want to give dignity to the legacy of Jim Ross.
You're going to have
before he tarnishes. Well, I don't know about that part, but I'm saying like that. The reason why they shot Old Yeller is because they didn't want to wait for him to attack one of the family members. So I'm saying in this instance of JR, if we don't figure out what to do with him now, give him what he's earned, the legacies he's built up, eventually he will endanger AEW. And it's going to be some thick shit to try and figure out. and he deserves better. He deserves to have a nice bow out. Thank you so much, because he has undoubtedly been a part of our lives. I mean, there's shit that I would do in the house, putting my sister in a goddamn figure eight, pretending that JR's in the background, talking about, you know, narrating it. So, again, it's one of those things. Let's find a way to have a bow out, so that way he doesn't, like, fuck it up.
So, Simon, yes. How good is your back bridge?
My back bridge is really good. You know what? I am very athletic even at this age. Right. I will tell you that. But back then, I got it. I could do a figure eight straight up. Before Charlotte ever took it, I could do that. I meant to say figure four.
I know, yes,
you did. I could do a figure eight.
Well, without question, JR should have retired with the WWE. In terms of an on-air personality, he was familiar with the talent, the way they did things. And I just think that, you know, in 2019, that should have been the curtain call. You know, if he still had stuff left to give and, you know, he wanted to do something like everybody else here has mentioned before, you can do behind the scenes stuff or you can do, you know, interviews and things like that. But I think, me personally, you know, I love the guy. I still like hearing him on TV to some degree, but all the different mishaps that he has, it's time for him to step aside from the commentary booth.
It's sad, though. I'm sad.
Well, JR,
if he shaves the goatee, then maybe he'll get it back, you know? Like, look younger.
Feel younger.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Come up with a new barbecue sauce. There you go.
Yeah. That's the solution. Shave your goatee, JR. Seriously, shave your goatee.
Hey, but you know what? You got to give him his props, because he'd been on it with that P&P, the pitcher-in-pitcher. He'd been on it. Like, this Wednesday, he was on it. He didn't stutter or nothing. So, you know, you got to give the old goat his dues when they do.
Oh, JR, the court has spoken, and out to the back shed, man.
So which one of us are going to shoot? Because I think that should be Impact, because it would weigh on his heart the most.
No, I nominate Matt Michaels. Yeah. I nominate Matt Michaels.
Matt Michaels would do it without any hesitation.
Yes.
The rest of us would be crying with the gun in our hand.
Yeah, I wouldn't even
Matt
do
Michaels,
it.
Matt Michaels, big smile. He takes off the glasses with full elation and just... See you later.
And then asks us if we want to go grab some dinner, like, right after.
Like, yeah. Fucking grab some dinner? You know what I'm serving you? I'm serving you some good old JR barbecue.
I'm glad that you picked up where I was going with that. So,
good shit, guys.
All right. Yep. Well, there we go, fellas. Great show tonight. Enjoyed it all. Let's give our final thoughts. I'm going to start with you, Simon Street. What you want the people to know?
I just want the people to know that at the end of the day, be kind to one another. Always make that your top priority and be happy for the things that you have. That's it.
Okay. Sin City Steve.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Thank you for liking, subscribing, sharing this with all of your friends and everybody. Special shout out to the Storm and Mormon for just being an amazing dude.
Absolutely.
And special shout out to Tristan in the chat tonight. He's thrown out some amazing quips and phrases and everything like that. Also, keep in mind, guys, Vegas Bad Boys brought to you by Rep Sports. So they've got all of your pre-workout, your wellness needs, your workout regimen. It's all right there, REPPsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save 15%. So again, RepSports.com, promo code Vegas.
No doubt, King Lucky.
Thank you for listening. Subscribe. Good night.
All right, and Matt Michaels.
Congratulations, Bree, Bella, and Brian Danielson. You guys have a little baby boy. And boy, if Birdie and the new arrival end up being wrestlers, woo, watch out.
Didn't Nikki have a baby too?
Nikki had a baby too.
Yeah. That's why I rolled my eyes. I was like, oh, she induced her labor.
Yeah, well, congratulations to Nikki and whoever that dude was who... I'm not too. I know he danced on some star show or something.
Did he marry her? Or no, because I think he proposed and she didn't say nothing or something. What? I don't watch.
I don't know, but she was. Congratulations for having a baby, and yeah, but me and Brian, way to go, guys.
Guys, thank you so much for listening to us, no matter if it's on our Zoom or listening to us on our podcast. We do this for you, and we thank you for riding with us.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.